This is David Duke, broadcasting to the world on Web Radio. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent, no matter where they may live upon the earth. Yesterday, Don Black and I, on our radio program on Stormfront, had a very interesting discussion. Part of the discussion centered on the ideas of Ayn Rand. It's called objectivism. And it's truly a form of hyper-individualism. I believe that many people in the movement for European heritage and for the principles of our Western Christian society support some of the ideas of Ayn Rand. And some of the ideas of Ayn Rand should be supported. Her books support a lot of the idea of individual courage, and that's attractive. But in the process, she introduces ideas that are completely destructive against our heritage, our way of life, our principles, our freedoms, and even the well-being of the individuals that practice her philosophy. One of our listeners wrote to me, and he criticized me for criticizing Ayn Rand, saying that I was basically reflecting a collectivism theory, much like communism, socialism, fascism, and the welfare state. I had to write him a very pointed response, and I'm going to share that response with you now. And I think it's a very important subject, and I hope that you will find these ideas interesting and stimulating. Here's what I wrote. Sorry we disagree here, but yes, I believe in loyalty to more than self. I believe in a group loyalty, whether it be man and wife, man and family, man and community, man and nation, and man and his race. It doesn't mean that there should be no individual rights. Our Constitution's a balance of those rights, the individual on one side and the community, nation, state on the other. And of course, today, the government has moved to a point where the individual rights suffer greatly, and that's a position that I obviously oppose. If our race does not defend itself, advance its interests as a people, we will go down to destruction. The reason why extremist Jews have been able to lead us to disaster is primarily the fact that we will not defend our people as a group, as a collective in a sense, and we've been taught to believe that it's evil to defend our group, our heritage, our values, our common interests as Europeans and Americans. Now, you can call that collectivism if you want, but the American founding fathers believed that we had to stand together as Americans, not as a few scattered individuals against the might of the British Empire. Yes, our forefathers were motivated by individual rights, and we were motivated by our rights as 13 colonies united in a new nation against another nation that wanted to rule over us. As far as war is concerned, there has always been war, and there will always be war. Just as there have always been conflicts that have led to violence between individuals. Now, it's our duty to lessen those conflicts, to try to avoid war. But those who don't band together and defend themselves will be conquered by those who do band together. The fact that we have been in constant war over the last few years and are now embroiled in a war on terror, or of terror, is precisely because the American people did not defend our basic interests as a people from the Jewish extremists who organized, coordinated, and orchestrated a Mideast policy that led this country to 9/11 and the subsequent disaster of the Iraq War. By now, every American should be aware that this war on terror is doing nothing but producing more hatred and fueling the agents of hatred and terror around the world. Too many of our people have acted as ultimate individualists, advancing their own immediate political or media careers or corporate interests, while the Jewish supremacists put their group interests and their Jewish supremacist state, Israel, first. Ayn Rand's Virtue of Selfishness philosophy, and that's exactly what she calls it in one of her books, is certainly not practiced by the neocons, nor is it practiced by the Jewish rulers of media and campaign financing, nor is it the dominant philosophy of Israel. Israel is not a nation of individuals, of Jews and Palestinians. It is, as you would say, a, quote, collectivist Jewish state dedicated to the advance and interests of the Jewish people. Ayn Randism is one more example of Jewish-originated ideas fostered on Gentiles, while the organized Jewish community has the opposite viewpoint. It is exactly like the long Jewish domination of the open borders movement for non-European immigration into the United States. Jews have led the open borders and massive immigration movement, legislation and other policies for many, many decades. This at the same time that they supported the Jewish state, which has a Jewish-only immigration policy. These same Jewish extremist hypocrites support the individual choice of racial intermarriage in countless Jewish Hollywood films. Yet at the same time, they support all the major Jewish organizations, and every one of them spend tremendous amounts of money to oppose Jewish intermarriage. And of course, they support Israel, a nation that does not allow the individual Jew to legally marry a non-Jew. Ayn Rand's individual selfishness and extreme individualism is not meant for Jewish consumption, and it's not a prominent movement in nations such as Israel. It is meant for us, and too many of our people have swallowed it. We have already been conquered in many ways by a united enemy who has banded together. Banded together, seeking their own agenda, what they see as best for their own people. And if we don't band together now, we white people will perish from the earth. And as white people perish and suffer as a group, you, as an individual, will suffer as well. Our founding fathers recognized this. The biggest defender of individual rights, Thomas Jefferson, wrote of the deep differences between the races that would destroy America unless we separated. He was a defender of our people, as were the writers of the Constitution, who, as a body, in one of the first legislative acts of the new American government, limited immigration only to white Christians. Using words like collectivist to define good common sense and brotherhood between our own people is evidence of the damage done by people like Ayn Rand, whose hyper-individual ethic has not been taken up by the Jewish extremists from whence she came, nor by the other races, nor by the other races outside of Europe or America, but only by a significant number of European Americans who are taught to pursue their own egoist and selfish, immediate and short-term interests rather than the long-term interests of the people and the community that make even their own existence and that of their families possible. As far as collectivism being the founding principle of the welfare state, of socialism, of communism, in a sense, you are right. Most of those people who work for those outmoded ideas are motivated by the idea of doing good for people as a whole. Problem is that their system does not work and it violates the true nature of man. But if you define collectivism as supporting the idea of a government or way of life good for the community as a whole, I would suggest that every one of our founding fathers was a, quote, collectivist as well. They respected individual rights such as freedom of speech, assembly, religion, and opposed an abusive and intrusive government. But they also had the idea that they could establish a government and a system of government that would bring freedom and prosperity to the great mass of the American people. They wanted to make it possible for the healthy, intelligent, and hard-working man rise as far as his ability provided. In doing so, they devised a system which everyone lived under a common government, heritage, tradition, ideals, and vision. Is that also collectivism? By yours and by Ayn Rand's narrow definition, it is. If you define collectivism as government coercion, control, denial of human rights, of freedom of speech, property, and the like, I am as opposed to collectivism as are you. But to lump socialism, communism, national socialism, fascism, welfare state, and even the idea that our people should band together to defend their rights, heritage, and even their survival as, quote, collectivism, that is a silly notion. More than that, it's one more Jewish-originated idea practiced by non-Jews that will lead us to our destruction as a people. I hope that I've given you something to think about. Sincerely, David Duke. Well, that's the response of my letter to the writer, and I hope I have given all of you something to think about. We all do certainly believe in individual rights, and our forefathers believed that government has to strike a balance between individual rights on one hand and the rights of the people or the nation as a whole on the other, the well-being of our people. We do have to band together for our interests, our heritage, our national concerns, our national agenda. There's nothing wrong or evil about that. And we live in a world where other nations and other people certainly do advance and work for their own agenda. And within our own country, we've got a number of individuals and groups that have an agenda that is much against the interest of the vast majority of the American people, as in the Iraq War. We are in a state of catastrophe right now in the United States. This Iraq War and our war on terror and our empire building around the world is not benefiting the average American. It's threatening us. It's making us hated around the world. It's making our citizens, wherever they go in the world and here at home, potential victims of terrorism. It's bankrupting businesses. It's bankrupting individuals. It's causing America to go down in so many ways. And this war, a war based on lies, was a war orchestrated by the Jewish extremists, the Jewish supremacists who dominate Washington, who dominate the political process, just as they dominate the political nominating processes of both political parties today in this election year for president. We are in a state of catastrophe, ladies and gentlemen. Our borders are being overrun. Our heritage is being wiped away. Our morals are being eroded by Hollywood. We are losing the very fabric of America, what our forefathers dreamed about, and what truly we want for our children and our way of life. We do need a group ethic. The biggest problem we have is the fact that too many of our people are being, quote, selfish. They want to find a little niche for themselves and their families. They want to move to the suburbs or move to the country or go to the mountains, make enough money, live behind a walled community while they don't do anything financially or with their time and effort to help the overall effort for our race. One person said it quite well, Benjamin Franklin, when he said, we will hang together or we will hang separately. And ladies and gentlemen, we are hanging separately every day. Look at the tens of thousands of victims of our people of the law of the minority crime in America. Look at the individuals who've paid taxes all their lives but can't get decent medical care, can't even afford insurance, and have their children suffer or even face bankruptcy if they try to help their child in the medical system as it is. All this while we have, at the same time, illegal aliens coming in by the millions, never paying a penny in tax and yet getting hundreds of thousands of dollars or even millions of dollars worth of medical care. We're losing the fabric of our society, ladies and gentlemen. And individualism, hyper-individualism, so-called Ayn Rand objectivism is a prescription for continued disaster. It's one more destructive idea in people who are normally healthy and normally strong to defend their own culture and values. Ayn Randism has a lot of things in it attractive. I was reading The Fountainhead the other day. I've read Atlas Shrugged many years ago. And I went back and looked over some of the passages in the books that I had read. And I noticed that she often talks about the integrity, the courage of the individual. And that is lauded. But the courage, the greatest courage of individuals that I can think of, the greatest courage is the example of the man who stands up for his people, for his heritage, for his country, does extraordinary things. Sometimes he sacrifices his own life and well-being in doing so. Most of the men who signed the Declaration of Independence died with nothing, very little possessions. And they realized that they could face hanging, their individual interest, their life. They could be hung for this principle. But they fought for themselves, for their own integrity, and for their nation. Ayn Rand talks about individual integrity. And she talks about the courage. I remember the architect Rourke, who she talks about and writes about in The Fountainhead. A man of incredible integrity who stood up for his principle and his idea. And those things are admirable. And those things are principles which suck us all in and make us all think, yes, this is great. But then she confuses this kind of integrity. This individual stands up against the mob for what's right. She confuses that with an individual who is simply selfish and abrogates his responsibility to his own people, his own neighborhood, his own community, and can do things and does things destructive of that end. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to, obviously, have a society and have a people that stand up for the well-being of our people. We live in a real world, not an ideological dream that Ayn Rand creates. There are many people out there who have a will to power, as Nietzsche says, who are trying to achieve great power in the world, and they have power, and they indeed threaten us. The Jewish extremists have an incredible will to power. They don't have any sort of philosophy that they're all individuals. No, they see their heritage first and their agenda first. Not all Jews are on board of that, but certainly the way the Jewish community teaches its young people in terms of its organizations, its educational institutions, and its synagogues and Talmudic teachings, they certainly promote that idea. Israel is a nation that gives Jews a tremendous sense of consciousness of their people. And I dare say a racial consciousness. And by the way, when I use the word race to define Jews, I'm using a word that many Jewish leaders, like Benjamin Netanyahu and many others, have used to define Jewish people. I'm not talking about some sort of racist view of the Jews. I'm talking about a word that they themselves have used repeatedly to define themselves. They've called themselves often a Jewish race. We're not allowed to use that term. They have a consciousness and they have an obligation to stand up for their people first. Now, it may be based on an individual idea that they have an individual advantage by standing together as a group, which they do. But certainly they are taught to stand up for their people and heritage. And ladies and gentlemen, we must also teach our children to do the same thing. The biggest problem we have in the white community is the fact that too many white people are simply willing to sacrifice the interests of their community, even their family, for their own personal advancement in economics or some other aspect of society. We must begin to develop a true love for our people, a sense of self-sacrifice for our people. And with that kind of idealism, self-sacrifice, honor and duty and courage to our people, supposedly a collective idea, with that sense of love, duty, heroism, and courage, we can begin to fashion a movement that will enable our people to survive. This has been David Duke. I've really enjoyed being with you today. I look forward to being with you again soon.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.davidduke.com.